From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listener, welcome back with me, Rahma. In today's edition, we will present some segments to you, beginning from news, spotlight of the week, and other interesting info, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, on the frequency 3325 kHz, and website voanews.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. Here's the headlines. The Indonesian Vice President supports One Health to realize digital healthcare ecosystem. No significant cancellation in tourist visit to Indonesia after criminal code bill ratified. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Vice President Ma'ruf Amin remarked at the webinar held by the Faculty of Public Health, University of Indonesia on Saturday, he encouraged the Ministry of Health Service platform Satu Sehat or One Health to help realize a digital health ecosystem in Indonesia. Satu Sehat is a healthcare platform that integrates patients' medical histories from various health facilities. The integration is seen as the basis for building a solid digital health ecosystem and providing convenience as well as economic value for patients. Ma'ruf Amin stated that advantages of Satu Sehat cover the aspects of preventive, promotive, curative, and rehabilitative service. Indonesian Tourism and Creative Economy Minister Sandiaga Uno claimed that there were no significant cancellations in tourist visit after the criminal code bill was ratified by Indonesian House of Representatives on December the 6th. As a monitoring and evaluation effort, he stated in Jakarta on Saturday that the ministry had deployed a team, one of which was in Australia, to observe the movement of tour booking on an hourly basis. The minister conveyed this information regarding the ratification of the criminal code bill, wherein one of the articles stated a rule regarding prohibition on cohabiting that will draw persecution if there is a complaint from a husband or wife for people who are bound by marriage, or parents or children for people who are not bound by marriage. For this matter, Minister Uno will disseminate information to the community, especially business actors in the tourism sector, regarding the new criminal code bill. Food and Agriculture Organization FAO representative Rajendra Arial visited Papua this week to explore potential areas for cooperation with local communities and authorities in order to support the province's farmers. The visit was organized jointly with officials from the Ministry of Agrarian Affairs and Special Planning and the Ministry of Agriculture and facilitated by Analysis Papua Strategies or APS. According to FAO Indonesia's statement on Saturday, one of the main objectives of the visit was to look at opportunities to promote and diversify local food production in Papua from various sources, including non-timber forest products. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. all non-critical infrastructure in Ukraine's southern port city of Odessa was without power after Russia used drones to hit energy facilities, local officials said on Saturday, December the 10th, with much of the surrounding region also affected. A statement posted by the city administration on the Telegram application said that Russian strikes hit key transmission lines and equipment in Odessa region in the early hours on Saturday. Odessa Governor Maxim Marchenko said Russia used kamikaze drones, which fly into their target rather than firing munitions, and that two had been shot down over the Black Sea. Hundreds of Tunisians protested on Saturday against President Kais Saied a week before election to a new parliament created by his constitutional changes, accusing him of an undemocratic coup. Saied shut down the previous parliament last year and ruled by decree before rewriting the constitution this year to give the presidency more powers, moves rejected by most political parties. Saied has said his actions were legal and necessary in order to save Tunisia from years of crisis and has repeatedly said he will not become a dictator. Malaysia's deputy ministers were sworn in on Saturday, December 10, at the National Palace in Kuala Lumpur. The 27 deputy ministers took their oaths of office, loyalty, and secrecy before the King Sultan Abdullah Sultan Ahmad Shah. Anwar Ibrahim, who is currently serving as the finance minister, on Friday night unveiled the lineup of deputy ministers, completing the cabinet under his administration. He previously stressed that the top priorities of his unity government will be issues of good governance, easing the people's burden, and economic development. Last item. Thailand celebrated the arrival of its 10 millionth international visitor of 2022 on Saturday. According to the Tourism Authority, as the kingdom consolidated the recovery of its COVID-19 battered travel sector, Thailand welcomed about 40 million people in 2019, but then the pandemic hit and travel was decimated as nations tightened border controls to contain the coronavirus. With those restrictions easing worldwide, Thailand travel numbers have begun a slow recovery and the government expects to generate nearly $16 billion in tourism revenue this year. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Spotlight of the week is on the Indonesian House of Representatives passed the draft criminal code into law. The House Deputy Speaker Lodewijk Frederik Paulus said that the ratification of the draft criminal code was expected to be a new milestone for law enforcement in Indonesia. He said this was because Indonesia had finally succeeded in abandoning the old criminal code of the colonial time and replacing it with a new one. Meanwhile, Chairman of the People's Consultative Assembly of the Republic of Indonesia, Bambang Susatyo, said the House's approval to pass the bill shows Indonesia's sovereignty in the field of law. Apart from that, according to him, the old Dutch colonial criminal code is no longer relevant to the conditions and needs of criminal law in Indonesia. Meanwhile, the Minister of Law and Human Rights, Yasona Lauli, said that there were three crimes regulated in the post revised criminal code, namely principal punishment, additional punishment, and special punishment. According to him, in the main punishment, the post-revised criminal code does not only regulate prisons and fines, but adds closing sentences, supervision sentences, and social work crimes. He added that the fundamental difference in the post-revision criminal code is that it no longer places the death penalty as the main punishment, but a special punishment which is always threatened alternatively and is imposed with a probationary period of 10 years. In addition to capital punishment, imprisonment is also reformed by setting guidelines that contain certain circumstances so that as much as possible imprisonment is not imposed on perpetrators of crimes. Previously, the U.S. Ambassador to Indonesia, Sung Kim, expressed concern that the contents of the post-revised criminal code regarding morality and the private sphere would drive foreign investors out of Indonesia. According to Acting Director General of Legislation at the Ministry of Law and Human Rights, Dahana Putra, foreign investors and tourists need not to worry about investing and traveling in Indonesia because people's private space is still guaranteed by law without reducing respect for Indonesian values. Meanwhile, the spokesperson for the Criminal Code Bill, Albert Aris, denied that the Criminal Code Bill was not in accordance with human rights. According to him, the Criminal Code does not discriminate against women, children, and other minority groups, including the press. All relevant provisions originate from the previous Criminal Code have been adapted as far as possible to the missions of decolonization, democratization, and modernization. He added, in the Criminal Code, criminal offenses against religion and belief have been reformulated by taking into account the International Convention on Civil and Political Rights. After being ratified, the post-revised Criminal Code will undergo a transitional period of 3 years and become effective as law in 2025. That was this week's Spotlight. I'll start today in history with December 11, 1946, UNICEF is founded. The United Nations Children's Fund, UNICEF, was established by the United Nations General Assembly on December 11, 1946. Headquartered in New York City, UNICEF provides long-term humanitarian and development assistance to children and mothers in developing countries. UNICEF is voluntarily funded. The agency therefore relies on both government and private donations. Its programs emphasize the development of community services to promote the health and well-being of children. Skipping to December 11, 1981, El Mozote Massacre. The El Mozote Massacre took place in the village of El Mozote, El Salvador, on December 11, 1981. More than 1,000 villagers died during the 1980 to 1992 civil war in the Central American country. It is reported it was the worst war crimes in modern Latin American history. This massacre was the nadir of the El Salvador civil war that raged in this country between the 1970s and 1990s. In December 2011, the government of El Salvador apologized for the incident. I'll end Today in History with December 11, 2013, 27th Southeast Asian Games opens. The 27th Southeast Asian Games, or SEA Games, are being held in Naypyidaw, the new capital of Myanmar. The official mascot of the 2013 Southeast Asian Games is a pair of owls. Myanmar proposes to host 35 sports, less than the number of sports in the 2011 Southeast Asian Games in Indonesia, which was totaling 44 sports. The event was opened on December 11, 2013. Thailand became the overall champion of the 27 SEA Games. That was Today in History.
Listener, in the segment Listener's Mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answer your letters or emails. First, I would like to reply an email from Rob Den Boer in the Netherlands. He was listening to English program, namely Indonesia Today, on December 3, 2022 with Sinpo 444 at 8 to 9 a.m. UTC. I think the Sinpo was quite strong. Thank you so much for your reception report, sir. I have heard the audio about our broadcast that you have sent. It is very clear. As appreciation, I will play a beautiful song special for you. So, here is the song.
Gemar sekali kita bersilat lidah. Sejak langit gelap hingga kembali cerah. Oh, gemar sekali kita berbeda pandang. Semula beradang, terkadang kembali tenang. Oh,
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 kHz and website voinews.id. Today's edition will give information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is on XBC and WBC Asia Holtering Official Certification. To improve the quality of supporters and facilities for boxing matches in Indonesia, one of the well-known boxing promoters, XBC Sport Tech, in collaboration with the WBC Asian Boxing Council, held a ring officials certification for boxing matches in Jakarta. The two-day training, December the 5th and 6th, was attended by 15 participants conducted by WBC Asian Boxing Council instructor Thawut Pluem Samran, who is also the head of WBC Asia and WBC Muay Thai Ring Official Committee. XBC Sport Tech CEO Urgyen Rinchen Sim told journalists Wednesday in Jakarta that the Ring Official Certification by WBC Asian Boxing Council was an important step towards creating a professional boxing match kit. He sees that the world of Indonesian boxing is starting to develop, and of course, in the world of boxing, not only boxers will be involved, but also promoters and other stakeholders such as judges and referees. In the two-day training, the participants were given education regarding the rules of professional boxing and its derivatives. Later, the knowledge gained can become capital for them to lead world professional boxing matches in the Asia-Pacific area. Participants consisting of men and women received training from WBC Asian Boxing Council instructor Thawut Pluem Samran, who also serves as chair of the WBC Asia and WBC Muay Thai Ring Official Committee. Urgyen Rinchen Sim hopes that this certification can be an important step in advancing professional boxing in Indonesia, because not only athletes, match officials such as referees, judges, timekeepers, supervisors, and doctors need to have certificates so they can work to go international. On the 15 participants who passed, the majority were under 45 years old, and even 40% of them were women. In fact, they can not only lead boxing matches, but also other martial arts disciplines such as Muay Thai, kickboxing, or MMA. That was My Indonesia Today.
Voice of Indonesia.
Now we will reply to an email from Muhammad Akil Bashir in Pakistan. He was listening to our broadcast on December 3, 2022 at 8 to 9 a.m. UTC. He also enclosed two recording audios about English programs. Thank you, sir, for the audio. To ask your question, I will first confirm the technical division. As appreciation, I will play a beautiful song for you. Happy listening.
Benar cinta, tak perlu kau katakan semua itu, cukup tingkah laku. Sekarang apalah artinya cinta kalau hanya di bibir saja? Cinta itu bukanlah main-mainan, tapi pengorbanan. Semua bisa bilang
still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 kHz and website voinews.id. For the next segment, we'll present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Karanganyar, which is located in the province of Central Java and is about 29 kilometers from the city of Solo, is an area that has lots of natural tourist attractions. One of the waterfall tours in Karanganyar, which has beautiful and cool views, is the Kedung Sriti Waterfall. It is located in Kalisoro Village, Tawang Mangu, Sub-District Karanganyar, Central Java, and is one of the hidden paradises in Tawang Mangu. This waterfall has a height of approximately 10 meters. The first thing you will feel when you arrive at Kedung Sriti Waterfall is the beautiful natural atmosphere. There are various plants along the way to the waterfall. Green plants around it make the natural atmosphere more pronounced. Because the location is slightly in the forest, this waterfall is kept clean. Tourists can enjoy the freshness of very clear mountain water. During the dry season, the waterfall continues to flow, so tourists can visit this place at any time. To be able to feel the sensation of a very clear and very fresh waterfall, tourists can soak under that waterfall. Meanwhile, those who don't want to play in the water can sit and unwind on the rocks around the waterfall while listening to the sound of rushing water. To get to the location of the waterfall, after arriving at the parking area, visitors must first walk for about 20 minutes, passing through a fairly steep path and rice fields surrounded by residents' durian trees. Natural scenery in the form of hills and roaring waterfalls will ease your tiredness in traveling. Fatigue will soon disappear as soon as you arrive at the location and see the wonderful, relaxing Kedung Sriti waterfall. If you are in Central Jawa Solo City and want to unwind for a moment, take time to visit this still unspoiled Kedung Sriti waterfall. That was Indonesian Wonder today. We will meet again tomorrow with a different topic.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Before we end our segment Listener's Mailbag, we will reply to an email from Bruce Lee in Australia. He was listening to Indonesia Today's of English program on December 3, 2022 at 8 to 9 a.m. The SINPO was 34333. Hello sir, glad to receive your reception report again about our broadcast with good comment. So keep listening to Voice of Indonesia and please do not forget to send your reception report. Well, listener around the world, here is a beautiful song special for you. Enjoy!
Ku telah menutup pintu hatiku untukmu sejak ku temukan dalam hatiku yada kamu. Kemana kamu pergi, ku tak tahu. Saat kau pulang kembali, pintuku kunci. Jangan menunggu depan pintu hati. Jangan mengetuk dan memohon masuk. Jangan menangis depan pintu.
depan pintu hati. Jangan mengetuk dan memohon masuk. Jangan menangis depan pintu hati. Lukaku bukanlah tujumu. Kau bukan penghuni hatiku lagi.
That was the third song of the day from Voice of Indonesia. For the next segment, we present you Miscellany.
Miscellany today is on Sri Mulyani enters 50 influential women in the world 2022 version of Forbes. Indonesian Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati was included in the 2022 list of the most influential women released by Forbes in early December. The former World Bank director ranked 47th ahead of US pop singer Taylor Swift, who was in 79th place. Forbes explained the assessment of the most influential women in the world in 2022 uses four main metrics, including finance, media, impact, and sector of influence. Despite their different rankings, all the women on the Forbes list clearly excel in their respective fields. Forbes wrote, as finance minister, Sri Mulyani increased state revenues through tax reforms, which would expand e-filing services and increase taxpayer compliance. Last year, Sri Mulyani received the prestigious Best Minister Award at the World Government Summit for her efforts to implement reforms. Forbes said Sri Mulyani had served as the Indonesian Minister of Finance since 2005, helping guide the Indonesian state's transition from autocracy to democracy. Apart from Sri Mulyani, President Director of Indonesian State-Owned Oil Company PT Pertamina Persero, Nike Widiawati, was also included in the prestigious list and occupied the 49th position. Last year, both of them were also included in the list of the 100 most influential women in the world. Nike Widiawati then was ranked 27th, while Sri Mulyani was ranked 66th. Meanwhile, European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen topped the list of the 100 most influential women in the world for 2022. That was Miscellany today.
Cause you're a neighbor, you'll go away, sent down from heaven to Now what seems right
and I was so wrong, it must so strong. It all happened like magic. I'm intoxicated and now I'm home. Ooh, baby, you're the one I really want, I really need. Cause you're one major.
Let me be the one to hold your hand in the middle of the night.
What?
Be the one to guide you, I'ma treat you right. Your girl don't stop, you make me fly so high. If loving you is wrong, baby, I don't want your right side. Mamacita, you're my señorita. Every great king need a queen, so I need ya. No matter where you go, please take me with ya. Till the end of time, you're my only diva. One, two, three and two, the four. Do this one more time. Let's go.
Of Indonesia.
VOA listener, in today's edition of Music Corner, I will present a song from an Indonesian male singer, Anmesh Kamaleng. The singer from Alor Island, East Nusa Tenggara Province, Indonesia, released a single entitled Andaikan Kau Datang in August 2022, which had previously been popularized by the legendary band Kus Plus. Anmesh's version of this song becomes a soundtrack for a film entitled Miracle in Cell No. 7. Well, in October 2022, Anmesh released a song called Putus Tapi Cinta. Anmesh succeeded in bringing this song with a new color and atmosphere in the song. This song tells about a couple who already understands each other, but the relationship ends due to boredom. Boredom and regret are the main themes of this song. In making this song, Anmesh was assisted by Adrian Rahmat Purwanto as music producer and Opung Irwan Simanjuntak as vocal director. Well, listener, here is Anmesh Kamaleng with his song Putus Tapi Cinta. Happy listening!
Cerita, cerita indah tentang hubungan kita berdua yang lama telah usai, hilang begitu saja. Walaupun sebenarnya masih ada rasa, hati tak tega melihat wajahnya. Mencoba sembunyikan luka dengan senyuman. Ketika ku katakan padanya tak ingin lagi tuk bersamanya, dan ternyata penyesalan pun kamu dengan alasan ku bosan. Memang putus cinta itu biasa, yang tak biasa itu. Putus tapi masih cinta. Aku mencoba mencari dirinya, berharap ku bisa kembali dengannya. Namun apa daya, tak bisa.
Voice of Indonesia.
bosan dengan sikapmu yang selalu mengabaikan semua yang ku perbuat untuk dirimu, untuk cintaku. Tapi takkan ku akhiri hubungan cinta ini, karena kau sanggup kan untukku, untuk hidupku. Ku bosan dengan sikapmu yang selalu mengabaikan semua yang ku perbuat untuk dirimu, untuk cintaku. Tapi takkan ku kau sangat menguntungkan untukku, untuk hidupku.
Voice of Indonesia.
Berikan satu jawaban untuk membuat diriku tentram. Hanya kau satu yang bisa membuatku damai bahagia. Untaian kata-kata terindah kan ku berikan hanya untukmu. Semua cintaku, setulus hatiku, dapat kau pastikan hanya milikmu selalu. Terbawa arus derita dan terdampar di pangkuannya, tak ada satu yang bisa membuatku lebih bahagia. Walau cinta hanyalah kata, tak bisa kau lihat, hanya bisa kau rasa. Adanya hanya kau satu yang bisa membuatku lebih mengerti arti cinta. Oh, walau cinta hanyalah kata, tak bisa kau lihat, hanya bisa kau rasa.
Voice of Indonesia.
so much for listening to our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram at @VOI_official, Twitter at @VOIIndonesia. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, VOI Official, and follow us on TikTok at @VOI_official. I'm Rahma signing out. Thank you for listening. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.